Good morning. Welcome here, and welcome a few visitors here. Glad you chose to worship here with us this morning. I know with a number of things going on with choir tour and the youth gone. Also, John and Brendan are being commissioned this morning as deacons at Bethesda, so I know a few families are there to support them. And so, I know there's lots of good things that people can be engaged in, but I want to bless each that still chose to come and worship here at their home congregation. Earlier this year, myself and three others from our business, we traveled out of the state to a business convention. And morning number one, I took the lead through the food buffet line, and the rest were trailing me. And there was a whole lineup of delicious options, and I saw they had two different roaster-type things there of eggs, and they had the little signs there of give you direction what you're getting, just in case if you're confused. And the first one had something about vegetarian this and that, and I said, well, let's keep moving. The second eggs, let's take, and that was just eggs. Well, I didn't need the vegetarian version of eggs. I'll go with the real eggs. So I got my eggs, and then as an added blessing, I thought I would help guide my fellow comrades behind me, and I said, hey, make sure you get the second one. The first one there is not eggs. Well, one of the more engineer mind in our team decided to scrutinize these little signs, and he reads vegetarian with cheese and chives, and then my just eggs were vegan. So for those that know, vegetarian is actually what I wanted. I wanted the vegetarian. There was no meat in there. It was eggs and cheese, exactly what I wanted. The next, what I helped myself to was some powdered rendition of something that had nothing to do with eggs. So we sat down, and not only was I wrong, I tried to be helpful and guide my fellow coworkers, and I was wrong. I was the one that picked up the thing that wasn't eggs, and they tasted terrible. I couldn't get through them, so I ate a few bites, and that's okay. Blessing to anyone here that has chosen that diet or belief. They were rough to stomach. So I've been thinking about this topic of fake knockoffs, authentic and real. At our last brothers meeting, Lyndon brought our attention to our church tagline on our website. Can somebody call that out? What does our website have on there? Somebody other than Lyndon. Yes. Yep. Authentic relationships with God and others. So we had a little discussion about what does authentic look like. Last Saturday at the men's lift event, there was talk about authentic. You know, what does fake look like? This topic again came up throughout the day there. And this week I was thinking more about this. It just came to my mind about being fake versus being real. My first trip out of the country, I was 17, and a group of us had went to Guatemala, and if you travel out of the country, especially I think as a young person, at some point you want to get some kind of a souvenir to take back home to represent your trip there. And in a lot of warmer climates and countries that have open-air markets, and so that's a great spot to go and do some shopping. And there you could get some little trinket to take home, and mixed in along with all these little things there, the market was full of knockoffs of brands that I knew from back home. There were knockoff counterfeit brands of Rolex watches, Nike and Jordan shoes, Levi's, Ray-Ban, and the list goes on. And oftentimes, if you looked at them close, they might even spell the name a little different, and you could soon pick up that these were not the real brand. And Guatemala is certainly no exception to a country that you might find that in. Then later I went to Haiti and I saw that again. And many countries you'll see other goods that mimic another brand that's popular. United States is no exception to that. I have some cologne on my dresser at home that my wife and I were pretty sure that the result of buying cologne on eBay caught up with us, and we're sure it's not the real thing. And then there's entire worlds around the counterfeit and forgeries, expensive things. You think about the art world. One of the most expensive pieces of art that was purchased that was found out to be forgery, somebody paid $17 million for, just to find out it's not the real thing. We're no longer dealing with a pair of shoes now. We're talking about complex crimes. For someone to pay $17 million for a painting, this was no sloppy forgery. I'm sure this person did their homework. Billionaire Bill Koch has a wine collection, and he one time spent $400,000 for four bottles of wine to add to his collection. Part of why he wanted these bottles of wine is they had President Thomas Jefferson's signature on them, and he just thought that would be neat to have in his collection there, until historians came out and proved that those bottles of wine were fake. Suddenly, that forged signature and all that meant really nothing. $100 bills go under quite a bit of scrutiny, but the most commonly forged bill is the 20. And at any given time, there's estimated to be $70 to $200 million of fake cash in circulation in the U.S. at any given time. This past week, we got a sales lead that came in through our, just came into our sales inbox. And I intentionally decided to send it to our brand new salesman who had only been with us a couple weeks. And he eagerly dove into the details of the lead, had a few questions for me, and it had a legitimate generator model number. Everything on there looked good. Somewhere along the line, I said, time out. I said, I'm going to point out five things here that are red flags to me. And I showed him where they are and what to look for. It's a fake lead. It's completely a scam. There's nothing, I can tell you, this lead here will not result in a sale that's going to benefit the company. So our world is full of these knockoffs, counterfeits, fakes. The National Crime Prevention Council says $2 trillion of counterfeit goods are sold worldwide every year. It's a massive illicit trade across the globe. The concept of fraud, fakes, and deceit dates back to the garden. When Eve was communicating with the serpent, and Satan deceived her into believing that there was a bill of goods here that's going to give her something that she wanted, and she bit for it, literally. And we know how that ended. It was a lie. There was nothing about the bill of goods that she was told was true. One of the most common deceit stories of in the Bible, I think that we all know, is Jacob deceiving his own dad. You know, he deceived him into believing that he was his brother and took advantage of his dad in his older age. There's the story of the Gibeonites, how they came into the children of Israel there with Joshua, and they had a great story, and they put on an act, and the children of Israel believed it and bought it into it. Ananias and Sapphira, maybe a little more, strikes a little closer to home. They came up with this story and let on something that wasn't true. It was a false picture of what was going on there, and it cost them their life. So thousands of years later, this thing of real versus fake is still a thing. We talk about the real deal. Something is authentic, genuine, or we talk about fakes and frauds. And if we're talking about people, obviously we're not talking about an actual fake human. We're not talking about something that's a subhuman. It's actual people that we're talking about who they are. Somebody's putting on something that isn't real. They're trying to betray something that isn't accurate. And then we come up with taglines like authentic relationships with God and others. If you ever hear somebody describe someone as the real deal, it's rarely followed with, you know, John, he's the real deal. Did you ever see his golf swing? Or, Bill, he's the real deal. Ever see his antique car collection? No, it's followed with typically something about his character, something that stands out about who he is as an individual. Sometimes we'll focus on something that we think that is what makes an authentic person. Maybe we'll often, if we're talking about being real and authentic, we'll talk about being open and honest. A lot of times we kind of tie that to being real and authentic. And certainly is. However, you ever be around a person where maybe they're open and honest, but it seems like maybe there's still something missing. They're maybe just stuck at, and maybe they're saying things even you didn't want to know, and maybe they're just, that's their way of trying to be authentic. And sometimes we, in our pursuit to be authentic, we lift up one thing or we put something in place of like, this is what authentic Christianity looks like. And in the process, we just make more fakes. We think we can cross off that box and that's what authentic looks like. But often it's a byproduct, what we're looking for, of what someone authentic is. And we focus on the wrong thing. A lot of times we focus, when we talk about somebody being a fraud, we'll think about major things. Maybe we'll think about the pastor who lived a double life for all his years, and then at the end of his life we find out he wasn't who we thought. Or the employee who was a great Sunday school teacher, and then we find out years later, for years they embezzled money from their employer. And we're shocked at this, that they were living this lie. Well, this morning I want to talk about being authentic, and I want to be introspective. And a lot of times we focus on maybe these bigger counterfeit stories, but I want to challenge us each to look at our own lives and look at my life and my journey. What is it? Am I the real thing, the real deal? You know, many of these things that are counterfeit, when you pick them up or in passing, you can't see the difference between the real thing and a counterfeit. And, you know, as people, it's the same thing. A lot of times, you know, we can hide things from our brothers, from our sisters in church life. And, yeah, we can pull the wool over people's eyes for a long time. So again, I want to be introspective and look at our own lives. Look within. So the title of my message is, Am I the Real Deal? And I want to look at four areas. And I'm sure if I open it up for discussion here of what makes an authentic Christian, there'd be many things. And so I have four here, but there's many, many different ways you could look at this. When there's a counterfeit, it often means there is what? Something that's real. So when there's a counterfeit item, it's a copy of a real thing. So the first thing, we need to know and be anchored to what is real, the real thing. So I want to ask you, as you're looking in at your life, and I'm looking at my life, what am I anchored to? Am I anchored to something that's real? Back to my sales lead this past week, how did I know that that was a fake sales lead? I knew that was a fake sales lead in about 3 seconds. So I've seen similar. I also have been working with sales leads for about 12 years, so I've worked with them long enough to know that what the real thing actually looks like. So this morning, we have to know what the real thing is. We need to be familiar with the real thing. You know, some of those items I rattled off at the beginning that are commonly forged, the people say some of the differences are so subtle that even professionals that are trained, especially when you get in the world of arts and things that have high value, there's people that have their full-time job is just to watch for the little nuances that are different, and they can still get tricked. The difference between the real thing and sometimes the fake is very, very subtle. And you know, there's many things that surround the Christian life that are very good. Many of them are byproducts of a life that's anchored in Christ. If we focus on some of these byproducts and make them the real thing to anchor in, it creates this fake rendition. It can be our service in our communities to each other. It's a good thing, but it's a byproduct of a life that's anchored in Christ. It can be our traditions and our customs, things that are good, things we don't want to stop. But again, those are byproducts of things of a life that's anchored in Christ. Yesterday morning, I came to men's prayer. It's a good thing. More should have been there. But, you know, we could say, you know, authentic brotherhood is when that thing's packed out. But, you know, that's a byproduct of good, authentic brotherhood. It's not the only thing. It's not the thing. When we're anchored in Christ, our identity is in Christ. And it starts with being made a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is where it talks about, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So first of all, we need to be that new creature in Christ, where we're anchored in Christ. We're born again creatures. That is who our identity is. Anything that we choose to anchor in outside of that will bring out fake versions of Christianity. And it's very easy to get identities outside of Christ, our career, our reputation, what we want to be known for, social things. When I think of the social world, if you think about social media, is probably one of the biggest seedbeds of fake. If you think about what is put out on social media, not that it's all fake or all wrong, but it's such a fake platform. You know, even what I put on there is such a little picture of what reality is. And people get anchored in that. They get caught up in that. But it's a fake. It's really not, it's not life. It's not reality. Being anchored in the real thing is the ultimate help in not getting pulled into what's fake. You know, back to my earlier example with training in it, the sales rep who was looking at this lead, it wasn't that he wasn't wanting to be anchored in at Powerton, but some was also just the lack of experience of knowing what the real thing looks like. And one thing in brotherhood life is we have each other to help with that. And when you have brothers who are anchored into Christ, we can also watch each other's back and call out what's fake. Some of the older brothers here have seen a lot through the years. The second area is that the real deal will bring results and fruit that are real. Fruit and evidences out of their life that Christ's Spirit is living in them. So my question to myself and to you is, are there fruits coming out of our life? And turning your Bibles to Matthew 7, verse 15. We're going to read verses 15 to 20 out of Matthew 7. Okay, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And my main point is here not necessarily to spot out false doctrines or false teachers, although that may be part of it. But there is this concept that by your fruits will be known. And fruits, a life in Christ will bring out fruits in our lives. And then we know we're all familiar with the fruits of the Spirit, and that's the Spirit of God living in us: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Am I a person that has lots of answers for life, but missing fruit? When I'm angry at my children, and I see fruit that's budding in my life that isn't the fruit of Christ, it doesn't mean that I'm a failure, but it's a time to stop and say, where's that fruit coming from? What is that coming out of? One thing we'll talk about as someone authentic is being open about their faults, and that's very true. We want to be open and honest. There's scripture about that talks about confessing one another our faults. But along with that, a fruit is also having victory over our faults. There's victory over sin. A constant life in defeat isn't authentic. Victory is also a fruit of an authentic relationship with Christ. And again, not that means that we're perfect or don't sin, but there's victory. Romans 6 talks about the freedom we can have over sin. Sin is not going to have dominion over us. I don't know if you ever bought a counterfeit product that you thought was the real thing, and then later what brought it to your attention that it wasn't is that the results weren't great. Maybe you were in another country and you fell for that $5 pair of jeans that said Levi on the back, and after two wood splittings, the wood wasn't the only thing that was splitting, right? And you realize, you know, these were not Levi's. There's just no way. You know, a counterfeit product does not hold up when tested. There's a man I interact with some. He has a lot of seemingly joy, happiness. I like talking to him. There's a lot of just, yeah, it seems like he's a positive man. But, you know, I'm not aware that he's born again. Faith is not part of his life that I'm aware of. And I've already caught a few times where something has kind of just didn't sit well with him, and I've caught him yelling and cursing, and it jarred me because there's such a 90% of the time this man's just something there that's really attractive. But you know, that joy, whatever that's anchored in, yeah, he's a pleasant man, but it's not anchored in the fruit of Christ's Spirit living in him. It's a counterfeit happiness. It's happy, but it's not that joy of Christ that's radiating out. It's an authentic version of it. You know, the term authentic manhood is a term, you know, we'll talk about. And you could preach an entire message on what it means to be an authentic man. But, you know, our culture has an image of what manhood looks like. And the fruits of a godly man is often the opposite of what our culture around us tells us what fruit of a man will look like. The third area, the real deal has a disgust for the fake. You know, the devil has and will continue to work on putting counterfeits every day. And are we disgusted by that? You know, some fake products that are out there, I kind of like. And occasionally you'll find yourself almost preferring the fake over the real. I remember back when I was young, there was a time where I got into using Sweet and Low in my coffee. And I developed a taste for it. It's terrible stuff, but it's a counterfeit for sugar. And I got this, I kind of liked it. I preferred Sweet and Low over sugar. Thankfully, I quit putting either one in my coffee. How many have ever had Spam for breakfast? You know what I'm talking about? So it's a substitute for ham. It's called Spam. Well, my dad liked Spam. So on a Saturday morning, you know, with the eggs and the pancakes, there was nothing uncommon. It was not uncommon for us to have fried hickory-infused Spam. It's not ham. But, you know, I'll be honest. If I was at a breakfast and I had the choice of one or the other, ham or Spam, I could easily gravitate towards Spam. I just kind of like the taste of the fake. Thankfully, my wife doesn't keep Spam out of the house. But you know, in our spiritual life, we can get this appetite for the fake thing. Do I tolerate just a little bit of the fake in my life? that lukewarm spiritual appetite, the lukewarm in my devotional life. I want to have one finger kind of in what the world has to offer, that fake. And there's many things that we, that are good things that, are not wrong in and of themselves. But when they take our attention, it gives that fake, authentic experience. I feel like we pick on sports a lot, but it's an easy one too because of the allure that's there to actually, that there is some kind of happiness there when we pursue it. But, you know, it is a counterfeit. Luke 16:15 says, "That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." And I think many times we get confused and we take some of the things around us that our culture says is great, and we lift it up to a point where we think that, hey, this is great. It's actually abomination. And when that becomes, when we get an appetite for that, for the fake, the not real in our life, it takes away from authentic Christianity and distracts us from the real thing. The fourth one I have is the real deal will allow difficult times and trials to make them more like Christ. And Lyndon alluded to this in his Sunday school. And this is an area where, as a younger person, I don't feel like I have faced the trials that some of you older people have. And so I look up at your generation and I admire older men and women that have endured things. Some time ago, we had Frank Reed come and talk about, his topic was something about, you know, walking through difficult journeys. And he told his story there with difficulty, which involved, you know, losing loved ones, health challenges, and he had quite a journey they went through. And when I look at that man and he has a solid anchor in who he is as a believer, and he can speak words of blessing, he's not that cynical old man that Lyndon was talking about, but he's a man that still, he knows who his God is. That's an extreme blessing. It says that to me is authentic. And some of you older men and women here have seen a lot of life and are here with that smile on your face. Not that it was easy, but you didn't allow that to get you disgruntled. Sometimes we'll hear of somebody, you know, they're in their 40s or 50s, and we say, that guy's got something. He's the real deal. And 10 years later, we see where they're at, and they got distracted. They're bitter. Something happened in their life. They allow bitterness to come in. Maybe they got disillusioned with their earthly success, either from their ministry standpoint or from their business success, and they got disillusioned. And that's just disheartening when you see that. But when you see the real deal in somebody who has weathered that and they're still anchored in Christ, it's a sign of authentic Christianity. And one thing I'll say, yesterday morning in our men's prayer, one brother shared about how he had to, you know, kind of process hearing about a brother coming out and admitting that he was living a double life. And he was just sharing with us men that, you know, that it just took him back. And, you know, it should. You know, I've never bought a fake product that was really expensive and found out it was fake. But, you know, when that happens, when we're scammed, you know, it's disturbing. And when that happens at a spiritual sense, you know, it shouldn't be okay. But also, let the fake be fake, and the fakes need to answer for that. You know, for younger people, unfortunately, people will let us down. That is something that we're going to see. However, don't let that throw you off. There's many men and women out there that are the real deal, and when somebody comes out and they, it's not who you thought they were, don't let that throw you off and get you off your, you know, your eyes off of Christ. In the scriptures, we have many examples of authentic men and women. I think the most obvious and the most perfect, the perfect example of that was Jesus' ministry on life. When you want to talk about 100% authenticity, You know, the life of Jesus, when we study that, he was man, but yet how he responded to situations. There was nothing fake about him. One of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph, and when I look at the life of Joseph, and there's something about what he faced, the rejection from family, being lied about, having faced temptation and doing the right thing, but then yet that is what got him in prison. And you look at all that, but yet you don't see a man that just got bitter and angry and didn't become a victim. But he rose out and he was a leader and he forgave. And I look at that and I see just many qualities that were authentic, a authentic belief in a real God. Well, in conclusion here this morning, for the younger ones here, I just want to encourage you, anchor in, again, what's real. Make Christ your identity. For those of us that are more in that midlife stage of life, is there a crop of fruit that shows a result of an authentic relationship with Christ? Are there authentic fruits that are coming out of our life? And to the older ones, have you allowed life storms to make you stronger and solid believers? For those of us coming on behind to lean on and to look up to, and I just want to encourage you in that. You know, many things in life today that are counterfeits are items that are perceived to have value, or items that are sought after. You know, the Christian life is no different. There's a tremendous value there, and unfortunately, there's many fake renditions of the real thing. Let's make sure we're rooted in the real thing. Let's not get disheartened and sidetracked by the things that aren't real, and let's make sure we are rooted in what, in Christ, and in what is has a lasting truth. God bless you.